This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration is designed to prepare students to lead in the social sector by combining classroom learning with field education and five focused pathways. The final deadline for the program is April 1st. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. Opening statements got underway today in the murder trial of a former sheriff's deputy charged with killing Springfield, Illinois resident Sonia Massey last year. My colleague Mawa Iqbal is at the trial in downstate Peoria. She reports that the heart of this case is whether the officer acted in self-defense. Sean Grayson fatally shot an unarmed Massey in her home over a pot of boiling water. She had called 911 to report a potential prowler. The prosecution told jurors Grayson was unjustified in killing Massey. Sangamon County State's Attorney John Millhiser says Massey wasn't a suspect. She wasn't anything but someone calling for help. Dan Fultz represents Grayson and told jurors that Grayson was firm and unequivocal, telling Massey to put the pot of water down, but she threw it at Grayson anyway. Grayson entered court smiling and nodding to people in the gallery. Massey's family and friends were there as well, dabbing away tears. Lawyers for Gangster Disciple co-founder Larry Hoover today sought clemency from Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. President Donald Trump 5 months ago commuted Hoover's federal life prison sentence, but Hoover still has a sentence to serve on a state murder conviction. The Sun-Times reports that, according to the petition, Hoover has suffered 3 heart attacks since his federal sentence was commuted, and he's still imprisoned in Colorado under extreme conditions. His state sentence stands unless Pritzker commutes it or the Illinois Prisoner Review Board grants clemency. The Chicago Fire are back in the Major League Soccer playoffs for the first time in 8 years. The Fire is hosting Orlando City tonight at SeatGeek Stadium in suburban Bridgeview. Sun-Times sports contributor Brian Sandalow says the Fire have gone through a lot of changes in the last 8 years. Players, coaches, executives, and even ownership. But he says things are moving in the right direction.
If you combine everything that owner Joe Mansueto has done off the field with getting the new stadium, the training facility, and if you can get a good soccer product on the field, then the Fire might really have something.
Tonight's match is a single-game wild-card playoff. The winner will move on to play top seed Philadelphia Union on Sunday for the first game in a best-of-3 series. And the Chicago Bulls open their season tonight against the Detroit Pistons at the United Center. The Bulls, though, will be without star guard Coby White for at least the first 2 weeks of the season because he's got a calf injury. Our sports contributor Cheryl Ray Stout says the Bulls will be leaning on second-year forward Matas Buzelis, not only in White's absence, but for the whole year.
They expect him to really take the next leap, to be more aggressive, to be more physical. And you can see that he wants it. He says he wants to be called the most improved player in the league.
The Bulls also will be without forward Zach Collins for at least 4 weeks. He's had surgery on his wrist. You're listening to The Rundown. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson is laser-focused on passing his $16.6 billion budget by the end of the year. It's propped up by a slew of new taxes, and this comes while the mayor is juggling the city's response to the Trump administration, including the president's threats to federal funding and militarized-style immigration enforcement in Chicago. The mayor sat down with my colleague, City Hall reporter Mariah Wolfel, to discuss these topics, and she asked Mayor Johnson about his already controversial idea to charge large companies a monthly $21 per employee head tax.
Prominent voices in the business community wasted no time in opposing the corporate head tax included in your budget. I want to play a cut of tape from Jack Lavin, president and CEO of the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce.
The global economy is more competitive than ever. So if we want to keep companies here and jobs here, we all need to sit down, collaborate. Government's not free. It's going to take some revenue, but it's also going to take some common sense cuts and efficiencies and shared sacrifice.
Shared sacrifice is obviously a term you've used in talking about why making the case for this corporate head tax. Do you believe that the business community is open to shared sacrifice?
Well, look, I mean, since we're talking about cuts, Donald Trump has cut resources from our public schools. He has cut off resources and revenue to public transportation. He has cut SNAP. He has also cut access to health care. And so, I mean, are they asking working families to pay more in property taxes? You know, are they asking poor people to put more skin in the game? Even after we have families in Chicago who are going to lose their SNAP benefits in just a few days because of the cuts that are coming from the federal government. So who is making the sacrifice here? And this, look, this is a rounding error. What we're asking for is companies buying their employees lunch once a month. I know that there are a lot of people in Chicago who agree with me on this.
Talk about where you came up with the $21 amount, and is that a number that you're willing to negotiate through the budget process?
Well, this would essentially be on par for inflation had the revenue source, had it not disappeared and gone away. And so the question, I believe, that we'll have to ask, you know, some of these corporate CEOs and these large corporations, are they willing to negotiate the tax breaks that they received from Donald Trump? Right? Because working people are not given the opportunity to negotiate with Donald Trump. So guess who's going to do that? Me, as mayor of the city of Chicago.
The other hefty new tax in this budget is the 50 cent per user social media tax.
50 cents is hefty?
In terms of revenue it's creating and the newness of the tax. Can you explain your argument around why social media companies should be specifically taxed in this way?
I mean, this is about modernizing our amusement tax to reflect the new digital economy that we're in the midst of right now. And we're talking about these big tech companies have made hundreds of billions of dollars, right? And as we modernize government, it's important that our revenue stream reflects where our economy is going.
I'm curious, are you a regular social media user?
So believe it or not, I'm really not on social media that much. If I am, I do find TikTok to be amusing.
What corner of TikTok do you like?
So there's a gentleman who managed to come across a duck that he was raising, and there's an entire site that's dedicated to this duck that he named Ducktavius. There's an entire family. Then there's questions around whether or not he had the legal authority to raise this duck.
Obviously, there are some legal concerns with this tax. Some experts, both in constitutional law and in tech, say it'll be challenged on the basis that you can't single out specific media in imposing taxes. Do you have a plan B if this doesn't survive a legal challenge?
I feel pretty confident that our Department of Law will be able to defend this. This is simply an amusement tax. And as you just heard, the fact that the mayor of Chicago spends just a couple of minutes of keeping up with Ducktavius, it is proof positive that this is clearly an amusement. And it's a tax like other amusements, whether it's concerts, movies, streaming, you know, this is an amusement.
You know, I want to talk about the lawsuit filed in federal court against the Trump administration for threatening to cut funding to cities who have diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Is there any world in which the city reconsiders any of its efforts to diversify the workforce?
Look, what the Trump administration is threatening in this moment has nothing to do with diversity, right? He's looking to cut off funds to our emergency management apparatus that would deliver services for medical equipment or to defuse bombs, right? This is, again, yet another attempt to exercise his authority outside of the Constitution.
Would the city change its practices, though, if a judge decides the Trump administration can withhold this funding? Or would you say, keep your funding, we're keeping our diversity efforts?
Look, he doesn't have the authority. Right. And so, look, I'm not going to live in any hypothetical. I'm going to put forth the best and the strongest response to protect all of Chicago.
Okay, I have a two-pronged last question. Over the weekend, a law firm hosted a fundraiser for Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas, apparently to raise money for a mayoral bid. This is your second to last budget before the next election. Are you still planning to run for re-election? And what are your thoughts on the names out there so far?
I haven't really paid much attention to any of the names at this point. Look, here are the names that I do pay attention to. The names of the families who rely upon our public schools. That's why I released the largest TIF surplus in the history of Chicago, $1 billion. The families that rely upon our parks and our libraries.
Your position on being the longest serving mayor in Chicago's history hasn't changed.
Why would it?
Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson speaking with our City Hall reporter, Mariah Wolfel. Weather today, cloudy and windy, a high near 50, and then tonight, chilly. We do have a frost advisory for some counties in northern Illinois, a low in the upper 30s, and Thursday, sunshine, high in the mid-50s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Lopez. Thank you for listening.